Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, Dan Hicken out the door, MD, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, Jags and the Bucks, and most importantly, Tony, preseason home opener. We get to congregate down at Everbank. All the Jag faithful will be down there tomorrow night, and looking forward to the spectacle that it is, as no more outdoor pregame. A little bump. I'm kind of happy with the heat aspect of it. Not so. I do like being outside. You get the feel of the fans coming in and all those things, so it's going to be different for us in that regard tomorrow.
Yeah, we're done with that. We just got 3 weeks of the preseason to slog through. And then we get to the real deal.
I can get through. The next 2 weeks are okay. I mean, we're a day away from a game, and we're going to see some interesting things, I think. You know, I know there's been some talk, well, how long do the starters need to play? They practice against the Bucks a couple of times this week. I don't think it's the same thing at all.
No, and look, the practices weren't exactly what I thought they were going to be either. It's not like they were going super hard in practice the last couple of days. I don't even know how much red zone, goal line, any of that kind of work that I thought would be so beneficial to have another team in. You can do that kind of stuff against an opponent. I don't even know how much of that they did. So, yeah, I think tomorrow night is still a huge deal.
All right. Gus was asked, as a matter of fact, yesterday. Was this from the Gus Bradley show last night,
Tyler?
Yep. Gus was asked if the two practices over the last couple of days will change what he would typically do in a preseason game number two. Here's what he had to say.
Generally, your second preseason game, you'd like to get the starters 2 quarters. And, you know, for the big reason is the offense. You'd like to give your first-team offense a chance to get into a 2-minute situation and get practice at that. That's the general rule of thumb. But when you have a joint practice like we did, we scheduled 2-minute practices, you know, a 2-minute segment in this practice. You saw it today. And, you know, so we'll take a good look at, you know, I'll meet with the trainers and Dave and Milo tomorrow, and we'll see how we came out of it the last 2 days. I know it was pretty physical. And then we'll make a decision how much guys play on Saturday.
Pretty physical. All right. Look, get them to the regular season healthy and ready to play, and we're not really going to worry about what the play distribution is, but I'm not necessarily buying how grueling those practices were for the last couple days. But nevertheless, Jags-Bucks tomorrow night, and of course we can all get excited for week 3 of the preseason. At least I do, compared to any other time, and then it'll just be counting the days till the regular season starts. Today, if you'd like to get in, 641-1010, the number as always. Also, the text line driven by Duval Ford at that same number. Question of the day today, which is very similar to the last time the Jags were going to be on the field. What are the 3 things you'll be watching for most closely during the Jags preseason home opener against the Tampa Bay Bucks? So, in other words, the 3 things you're hoping to see tomorrow night. You can hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, and or the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. By the way, Jordan DeArmond told us about her team, her roster last night from the Hacker Fantasy League. I don't know about everybody else's roster. I think Jordan might win the damn league, man. She came. I guess she's co-owning it with Amanda Borges. It seemed to me that Jordan may have a little bit more control of the roster than Amanda did, just based on conversations we had. But they let her get Gronk in the middle of round 2.
What?
After taking Todd Gurley 6th overall in a 12-team league, I'm quite surprised.
This is a PPR. It doesn't really matter, but
I prefer him in a standard league, in a non-PPR.
That's madness.
That was really surprising. Then she got Brandon Cooks as her top wide receiver, and unlike a lot of people, didn't rush to grab a quarterback too early. She sat back patiently and waited, and Drew Brees felt where she got the hookup with Cooks. As far as that goes, I like the team that she put together. Very nice job, Seattle's defense as well, and she didn't reach for them too early either. So good
and
for
when we
Jordan.
Get back from commercial break here, we'll also have some brand-new breaking news regarding the amphitheater and the new name it will have.
Oh, we've got a new name for the amphitheater, which is good. Is that a sponsored name? Is that what we're talking about?
It's a sponsored deal.
All right. Well, that's going. They're having the ribbon cutting ceremony today.
Just started at 10.
Right. So there you have it. All right. Well, we'll tell you about that when we return in a moment. We're going to hear from Blake Bortles today. He talked after practice yesterday. Plenty. If you missed the Gus Bradley show last night, we'll bring you some of his more important comments from that as they weigh in on this game. And also TJ Reeves, Bucks sideline reporter, will join us coming up in about 30 minutes or so and we'll preview tomorrow's game from the Bucks' perspective as well as the Jacksonville Jaguar perspective. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt. Happy Friday, everybody. It is almost game day. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field.
We initially looked at holding it in Orlando, you know, at a celebration or a Wide World of Sports, you know, kind of meet halfway. And, you know, we've got a lot of fans in Orlando, as do they. So that's first what we looked at, and it just didn't work out. So, you know, since we're playing Tampa in our stadium this year, we thought we'd do it, and then, you know, we'll take a look at next year.
All right, maybe next year they'll play the Bucks down in Tampa, and Tony and I will do shows from Ybor City. How's that sound to you?
That'd be fun.
We can live with that. Devitt's like, wait, you need an on-the-road producer, I think. That actually did work out quite well at the Super Bowl this year. So that was the original plan. So if you got a chance to attend the last couple of days of practice, you can be thankful that you didn't have to make the trek down to Wide World of Sports or anything like that to see the Jags. All right, unveil it. Twitter knows all about it. Everybody who really cares knows all about it, but for our listening audience who may not have access to the latest, Tyler, they're unveiling the amphitheater slash practice facility name. What do we have, please?
Daly's Place.
Like Daly's the convenience gas station kind of deal. All right, so it's Daly's Place.
And it will be completed May 2017.
All right, Daly's Place, which I'm good for Daly's. I'm happy that they are on board and the Jags are making money off of it. We're pretty much going to call it the indoor practices.
In the amphitheater.
Right? The amphitheater. I mean, I just, like, Everbank is just such a simple, you're going to the bank or you're going to Everbank, right? I don't know if we're going
to. Well, you can't shorten. You can't just be like, hey, you want to go to Daly's.
Right. What do you mean?
You're right. Like, what does that mean?
What are you talking
about?
You
want to go to the place.
You want to go to the DP.
Let's go to the place.
DP. That could mean a lot of things. So, anyway, they said, I just gathering from Jaguar Twitter, that Mark Lamping, president of your Jacksonville Jaguars, said end of May of next year is when the first public performances will take place. I'm reading that on J.P. Shadrick's Twitter feed right there. So it's going to come together relatively quickly.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have some things a lot of people were hoping Limp Bizkit would
and it sounds like Everbank and the new Daly's Place will be fully integrated, so you can walk from one to the other. And they're intertwined. They'll add some new bars in between, so it sounds like it'll be a very cool deal.
You had me at new bars, said all of Jacksonville, or many of Jacksonville. The best is yet to come. Party on. That is the money quote today from Shad Khan. Let's hope so.
I hope there's sound for that, please.
I don't know. I'm assuming there is. Amanda Borges is down there. I'm sure there's sound for that.
I just want the party on segment.
Party on. Right. Well, the whole thing would be nice as well, but I'm sure we'll build some interesting audio bites out of whatever comes out of that. So anyway, hey, just another step in that right direction. Remind me again when the team's moving to London, Tony. When is that?
Right.
Is it October? When is it?
Lock November? Lock and said 2021.
2021. So, all right. So enjoy the Jags for the next 5 years, I guess, according to Jason Lock and Four. All right. I'm being facetious. Mike Dempsey is not reporting something. All right. Just being facetious, people. I'm just talking about the investment that Shad Khan and the city of Jacksonville continue to pour into the facilities as well as the football team itself. Now we got to get some results on the field. We have more breaking news? Is that
Well, I was just saying,
I'm
you're breaking the news that we're not moving.
I'm breaking the news that the Jaguars are belonging in Jacksonville and staying in Jacksonville. How about that? Dun, 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 dun. Let's get to your quarterback, Blake Bortles. Let's see what he had to say yesterday. I guess he popped up on SportsCenter yesterday. Did he do a wiki club?
Yeah, he's on the
yesterday?
Newest episode of Barstool Sports, Pardon My Take, and that is out. They do like a Wikipedia club where the two articles they read this month are about shorts and banana boats.
Shorts, like in just kind of shorts you wear, right?
Right.
And kind of riffing on what shorts are acceptable. By the way, I'm old enough that I went to junior high where we had those butt huggers for like PE.
Butt huggers?
Oh, man, those little tight little, like, now you wear shorts, and if they're and more than a half inch above your knee, they're short. Yes. I mean, they were just a little short. You ask any guy who played sports or had to dress out for PE and had a school, like, uniform or played on the basketball team in high school or junior high in the 80s, chances are you wore some shorts that were very European in length. Let's just say that, right?
That was the discussion, shorts and banana boats.
And banana boats.
I don't know what you would talk about with banana boats, but that was the discussion.
They make a fine sunblock product, don't they? Right. Banana boats.
When was the last time you wore jorts, jean shorts?
I don't know. You know what? Cutoffs. I wore cutoffs. I've never bought... No, you know what?
Oh, no, the best kind of jorts are the ones you create at home. You turn jeans into shorts. Those are the best
right,
kinds
you,
of jorts.
But you sew the seam, right? You're talking because cutoffs,
oh, no, no.
Cutoffs are a different thing.
Oh, no.
Cutoffs
you just
are,
take scissors and cut that bad boy.
When you're
the
a kid and you... Look, I wore cutoffs when I lived up north. It's not just like a southern thing. You cut off jeans? Absolutely,
jorts.
Man.
They're technical term is jorts.
No, they're jorts. To me, they're jorts only when they have a seam at the bottom. Otherwise, they're cutoffs.
You got to have that frayed bottom and makes it authentic.
That's not jorts. To me, jorts are a little supposed to be like stylish jean shorts. You know what I mean? Like, right? Am I wrong about that? Or does that cover encompass all the categories? I don't know. When you're a kid and you're growing very quickly and your mom's like, I ain't going to buy you some new clothes. I'm going to cut those with a big pair of shears.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. And then they'll fit you for a while.
I guess.
Who
cares? I don't know.
When you're a kid, I didn't care what I wore when I was a kid, man.
No. I had like a terrible bowl cut. I mean, it was just whatever I was told I was going to have.
You saw the picture I brought in the other day of me in grade school, dude. It was just like, whatever. All right. I'd rather
clothes.
Yeah, it's
like it was just so unimportant to me. I was just like, I don't care. Can I run in this? That's all that matters. Can I go outside in this? That's the only thing that matters.
Exactly. And can I get it dirty? If I come in with this dirty, how much trouble will I be in?
Yeah, that's it.
Right? And it, like you always had different levels of play clothes. At least I did. Like ones that if they literally got destroyed and ripped off you in the course of a backyard football game, your mom would never even notice, you know, and then you had other levels in between.
Oh, yeah. I had the PE shirt or whatever. It had been ripped to shreds, and
right.
I just kept wearing it every day.
I had a sweatshirt, a University of Virginia sweatshirt. I don't even know how I got it. I think my sister went on a trip to Virginia and bought it for me when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, I had this thing, and until the sleeves got too small, I cut the sleeves off. And then I broke my arm in it when I was in college,
mm-hmm.
and they had to cut it off me, you know, with whatever, like, you know, they're doing some field prep or something. They're tearing this thing off me to work on me, and I just had my mom sew it back together. It was like the Frankenstein sweatshirt, man.
Ah, you do what you got to do. I mean, I had a shirt that I had played football in it enough that it had been ripped around the stomach on both sides. So there were these two ribbons that ran out behind my shirt. So when I ran and I felt like I was running fast, I was like, how cool does that look with it waving behind me? Like, that was my idea of it, was I'm not going to replace this shirt. This is the best shirt I own.
Absolutely. Love those. All right. Back to the quarterback of your Jacksonville Jaguars. So you can check that out on Barstool Sports if you want to. Blake Bortles weighing in on shorts and banana boats. So take it from there.
I'm sure being from Oviedo, he's seen a lot of jorts in his day.
Go walk outside for an hour, okay? You'll probably see a lot right now. Whatever you want to wear, it's the ones to me that are sewn at the bottom like they're somehow fancy jean shorts. You know, those are the ones that get me. Those are hilarious. All right, Blake Bortles talking about the past couple of days of practice against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, said it went well for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I think it was good. You know, really to see some different stuff for us, different pressures, different coverages, different fronts, different guys, different personnel. And I thought it was good competitive culture, nature, vibe, whatever you want to call it. I thought it was good. I thought the guys handled it well. I think it was something that I think we got a lot out of. I thought it went well the past 2 days.
Yeah. What else is he going to say? After
right,
a days
everybody handled it well except for Dante Fowler got thrown on his butt and thrown out of practice early.
Which, whatever happened with that. I mean, it was apparently right at the end of practice. I know I talked to Tyler. I was like, did Gus say anything about this last night? And apparently Loggeman lobbed him like a softball about Dante being thrown out. Heck, even the article on the AP, there's nothing to it. It's like, I couldn't even tell what really happened that got him thrown out of practice, but maybe he took a swing, maybe he didn't.
It sounded like pushing and shoving almost, you know, but whatever. He's healthy.
He didn't
get hurt during the altercation.
No.
To me, that's the important thing.
No, he did not. Blake Bortles talking after practice yesterday. Marquise Lee had a good debut in 2016 last week against the New York Jets. He'll probably be trying to stack that up tomorrow night against the Bucs. Blake says He's been awesome.
I think Marquise has been awesome. You know, I think he's shown, you know, that when he's healthy, he's got an unbelievable ability to make plays. You know, now it's just trying to keep him healthy, and, you know, that's really, you know, kind of back to him taking care of his body and doing all that. And, you know, he's a professional and understands that and, you know, knows what to do in order to stay on the field. And he's kind of done that and been able to do it and looked really good.
Could be exciting if they can keep him healthy this year and where he can fit in that offense. Blake talking about going up against this Jaguar defense from this year compared to last year. What are the changes you've seen? What are the improvements? He said speed has been the biggest difference he's noticed.
I think the biggest thing is the speed. You know, I think they've gotten tremendously faster. I think, you know, really from top to bottom, everybody really flies around. And it looks like, you know, they're having a lot of fun doing it. You know, we got a chance to watch some of what they did yesterday and probably get a chance to watch, you know, what they did today once we go start watching film. But it looks like they're flying around, having a lot of fun and making plays.
What did you notice, Tony? Did it seem to you, because we talked a little bit about this yesterday, the Bucs look like a bigger team physically on average. Maybe it's just that at certain positions they are so big, right? And Dotson is just this massive hulk of a human being. Do you get that impression, or is that, or am I just focusing in on a handful of guys too much?
I mean, they're a big team. I look, it's the NFL. Everyone's big, right? I mean, they're all big guys, but Tampa does look a little bit bigger than the Jaguars team. I mean, just, but it wasn't that noticeable to me.
Okay.
At least it didn't stand out that much to me. But look, they have size at spots. We've talked about wide receiver with Evans and Vincent Jack. Those two guys.
Tight
are,
end.
They're, I mean, trees.
I know Mercedes is very big, but Austin Seferian Jenkins is a mountain of a guy, you know. So I don't know. Just look, I guess I just thought of it because of the speed aspect of it. You know, is this more a speed predicated defense? I mean, any defense that has Telvin Smith on it, he's probably going to be smaller than the average defense because he's going to bring that number down a little bit.
No doubt. Blake Bortles talking after practice yesterday, and a couple days ago, Allen Hurns got the planned day off as he's still, this offseason, had the sports hernia surgery, so they're going to take it easy with him a little bit. Allen Robinson has had some scheduled days off as well, as they don't want to expose him too awful much, but Blake was asked if he gets frustrated when these top guys do get those days off.
You know, if you let it eat at you, you know, nothing good comes out of getting frustrated over it, right? You know, A-Rob's a guy that as much as you would love to have him out here practicing today, you want him on Sundays. And that's, you know, what everybody understands in the goal. And, you know, Gus does a good job of portraying how important practice is, and we get that. But there's also times where it's good to take care of the team and take care of, you know, individuals and their body. And it's a challenge, and it's an opportunity for other guys to step up and go make some plays.
That is one way to take care of people, by giving them a day off. The other is to protect the quarterback by blocking for him, and that's where the O-line comes in. Blake says he feels good about that unit.
You know, I feel good with it. You know, obviously there's still some things being worked out, but I think it's giving guys a chance to play. You know, Chris Reed got a chance to play the whole game last week, and I thought, you know, did a great job. You know, Tyler Shadley got a chance to play a bunch. You know, a bunch of guys are getting opportunities, and I think that's really cool. And it's only going to make everybody better and more competitive.
They played well last week on Thursday against the New York Jets. Game two of the preseason tomorrow night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who they've scrimmaged against the last couple of days. Blake was asked about how much he wants to be in the game, how much he'll play against the Bucs.
I don't care. Play as long as they tell me to. You know, I think kind of the same thing. You know, in a preseason game, it's, you know, call it a dress rehearsal, call it whatever you want, but you want to, you know, no stupid stuff happens. You want to be sharp, you know, kind of like we talked about last week, being sharp in and out of the huddle. With formations and shifts, nobody running the wrong route or, you know, making stupid decisions from a quarterback position. You know, I think, and having a good tempo, I think would probably be kind of the same things carried over.
All right, there's a little bit from your quarterback, Blake Bortles. We'll get to Gus Bradley coming up a little bit later on. If you want to get in on the phone lines or the text line, 641-1010. Remember, question of the day, we're asking you which what three things you're most looking for in the Jags' second preseason game, and you can hit us up in all the usual manners on that. Coming up next, TJ Reeves, Buck sideline reporter, will join us as we'll preview the game from the Tampa Bay perspective. That's coming up on Jaguars Today. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars hosted the Bucs for their last of two joint practices yesterday. Allen Hurns and Marquise Lee both returned to practice. Jags quarterback Blake Bortles was impressed with Lee so far.
I think Marquise has been awesome. You know, I think he's shown, you know, that when he's healthy, he's got an unbelievable ability to make plays. Now it's just trying to keep him healthy, and, you know, that's
really, you know, kind of back to him taking care of his body and doing all that. And, you know, he's a professional and understands that. In order to stay on the field, and he's kind of done that and been able to do it and look really good.
Going to the Jags game tomorrow? Save gas and avoid parking hassles. Ride the JTA Game Day Express to Everbank Field. For more information on express locations and prices, visit ecommerce.jtafla.com. Game time is set for 7:30. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Jaguars Today continues right this very moment. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you as the Jags have concluded their 2 days of practice against the Bucs. They get a little downtime as they get ready to hit the field tomorrow night. 4:30 for the pregame on 1010XL 92.5 FM, your Jaguars radio network, and then 7:30 kickoff tomorrow. And at that point in time, TJ Reeves will be stalking the enemy sideline, the Buccaneers sideline reporter, joining us here once again on 1010XL. What's up, TJ? How are you, man?
Always good to be with you. I'm a stalker now.
You're a stalker.
Don't put me in the lofty category.
No,
all right? I'm
you
not
stalk
go make
the sidelines.
Kind of all right,
you stalk right? the sidelines, man. Yeah, it means you're just not hanging out there. It means you're walking with a purpose. You're looking
right.
for. Breaking stories and
just correct.
All these things. That's I wanted to cast you in a good light there, my friend.
I appreciate you looking out for me.
I have to say, though,
I'm coming to your town and I haven't gotten a golf invite yet from Mike Dempsey. And don't sit and lie on the air that you don't have a tee time after the show today.
Well,
I know you do.
I don't have a tee time after the show today.
So you're a walk-up. You're a walk-up. And you're playing Twilight.
No, August has arrived, so I'm back to my weekdays on Sirius XM, so I am no longer a weekday golfer, my friend. And if I was not so lazy, I would say, let's get up and play at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Exactly. But we're both lazy. We're both old, and that's how it goes. But nobody wants to hear about our problems. They want to hear about the game tomorrow.
Let's hear about the Buccaneers side of things. You know, the Jags feel like it was good. I was surprised, you know, that it was a little less full contact than it turned out to be. But regardless, do you think from the Bucs' perspective, they feel like they got a lot accomplished over the last 2 days?
I believe that Dirk Cutter believes that day two was much better than day one, and especially on the offensive side of the ball, and that's where he's always going to defer as an offensive mind. But none of this is a bad thing for either team. I mean, these teams are tired of blocking and tackling and running routes against each other themselves in a training camp. So there is no substitute for going against somebody else, whether you're talking about in the practice or the real thing. Well, real in air quotes, the preseason real thing tomorrow night where there will be live contact, and for the ones against ones, that may go into the second quarter, and it may go a little longer in the Buccaneers' case. But I think at this point you're looking for progress. Year two for Jameis Winston. He was apparently much sharper yesterday in the two-minute drill for the Buccaneers going against the Jags, for whatever that's worth, against training camp practice. For these two teams, you want to see them be sharper in the game itself, obviously, tomorrow night.
TJ, you mentioned Jameis Winston there. How would you characterize his rookie season last year, and how much improvement have you seen from one offseason to the next in him?
I would characterize the rookie season as a moderate success. Obviously, when you go 6-10, you can't just blanket say success. You didn't even have a 500 year, much less playoff year. But he threw for 4,000 yards, and he showed great composure. He showed great leadership already as a rookie and has really become the face of the franchise, the leader of this franchise. And now what you see, and you guys saw this the last couple of days, is a guy that has chiseled his body and knocked off about 20 pounds and refashioned himself with more muscle. And he fully understands that his health, his stamina, the physical part of this game and the toll that it will take on any quarterback come November and December is vital. So the needle is pointing up big time for Jameis Winston and the potential. But I like the leadership. You mentioned being on the sideline. It is fascinating to watch him as a leader on both sides of the ball. Example, Kenny Bell fumbled the opening kickoff in the preseason opener against the Eagles last Thursday night. Bell comes off the field, and he's got special teams coach in his ear. He's got other people in his ear. One of the first people that came up to him was Jameis Winston. And not to be a coach or yell at him, and not to, to overly be a friend or a member of the posse, but kind of somewhere in between. Get on you, but still hug on you that, hey, it's one play, it's the beginning play of the game, and there's still many more plays to be made. And just from what I've seen of the last couple of days, Kenny Bell apparently practiced pretty well in Jacksonville. Let's see if it translates, because he's in a clear competition battle at wide receiver for the Bucs.
Yeah, Adam Humphries, I guess, got named by Dirk Koetter, a couple weeks ago, as the number three guy already, and a lot of people thought Kenny Bell might win that job. We'll see how it plays out over the course of the season. One guy I think a lot of Jaguar fans are interested in is Noah Spence, because there's a lot of talk about him here in Jacksonville. The Jags coached him at the Senior Bowl. Certainly were looking for pass rush in the draft. How has he looked, and what has been, you know, the early returns that the Buccaneer coaching staff has seen out of this guy?
Again, needle pointing up, because there is a great expectation on him, on Robert Ayers as the two prominent guys, and Ayers is a veteran, to come in and rush the quarterback for this football team. Spence has a high motor, maybe a little bit undersized, but definitely quick. And I believe that chip on his shoulder going in the second round, and if you're not fully familiar with the whole story, and I'm sure you guys went over and over again and around the draft, et cetera, he washed out of Ohio State with discipline problems. And so now doesn't end up being a first-round pick, extra motivation. He and Winston, by the way, go all the way back to their high school days when they were roommates at the high school All-Star game. So they have a relationship as well. But that is a guy that they are definitely counting on. And let's see in this Mike Smith defense what kind of impact Noah Spence will make in this preseason game and as the preseason unfolds, because they're expecting a lot of things out of him. I don't think it's unrealistic that they believe Noah Spence can be a week one starter and play 50, 60 plays a game as a rookie for this team. There's that high of an expectation.
Tampa took Noah Spence in the second round. In the first round this year in the draft, they took Vernon Hargraves the third out of the University of Florida. How has the transition gone for him from the college ranks to the NFL, at least early on here in the preseason and training camp?
Well, he played some with the ones. He got out there on the field in nickel situation with the ones against the Eagles. And obviously there is a learning curve, and it's a new defense for him. And the NFL is obviously something that he's never been out there having to cover NFL receivers. And he's gotten a taste of it last week, although Philadelphia's receivers kind of so-so. Jacksonville's got a lot of talented guys, and we'll see how much he's out there with the ones. But one of the things you're struck by with him, swagger, yes, ball hawker. I mean, we'll go after the football, we'll make plays, we'll make interceptions. So I'm fascinated to watch his development as well. And that's another real camp battle for the Buccaneers on defensive backs, because you drafted him. You've got Alteron Burner, who's a former Pro Bowler, who kind of got in the doghouse last season, but he is back and with the ones. You have Brent Grimes acquired as a free agent who had played with Mike Smith previously with the Falcons. Then you've got a former second-round pick, Jonathan Banks, who's also working, and a couple of other guys you drafted, and you can't keep everybody. And so this will be a fascinating part of the next couple of preseason games. Who stands out, especially when the second team, when the twos are out there for the Buccaneers, who stands out to try to make this football team as depth at defensive back?
Where does Jonathan Banks stand? I mean, he was a second-round pick just a couple of years ago. They brought in Grimes. They brought in Werner. Now they've drafted Hargraves. Where does he stand on this roster right now?
He stands on the outside looking in, I think. And something better change in a hurry for him, because he was not out with the twos, Tony, last Thursday night. He was out with the threes in the second half and playing special teams. So might he get a look with the twos tomorrow night, the second team, second quarter, early second half? Let's see. He has a tremendous amount of talent. He has length. He has long arms. He's big. He is bigger than Werner and Hargraves and Grimes. So if you're looking for the bigger athletic corner, that's the guy. But, again, this is a different coaching staff, and they are not married to the former players and the former regimes. And Jonathan Banks is in a fight for his Buccaneers survival. He knows that. He has basically said as much, that it is on the line here in this preseason for him to make the football team. He knows that.
T.J. Rees, Buccaneers sideline reporter, here for a couple more minutes. T.J., every team feels like they got better in the offseason. Around here, there's no exception. Jacksonville certainly looks at it from that perspective. The Bucs, I think, are improving, but you're in a division with a team that went 15-1 last year. Where do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2016 slot in the NFC South?
That's a great question, because if you were in the NFC East a year ago, you were in it even with a losing record all the way to the final couple of weeks of the year. Meantime, if you were in the NFC South, the division race was over at Thanksgiving. So, yeah, that's the standard that everybody's going to be going after. And is it realistic that this Buccaneer team can be 8-8 with all the veterans they have? And you guys just saw this team with Gerald McCoy, Lavonte David, Vincent Jackson, Doug Martin. You got a lot of talented veteran players to go with these young guys that we're talking about. There's no reason why this football team can't be 8-8, 9-7. And then you start wondering, okay, is that good enough to contend for the division? Can Carolina have the kind of year like it had a year ago? Certainly you're in the wild card conversation as well, you would think, at 9-7, certainly at 10-6. This football team is capable of that. So there is a lot of optimism going into this year. Just because you've got a lot of talented players, you have a proven commodity as an offensive mind now as the head coach, and you guys know that because he was in Jacksonville for a little while with Mike Smith as an assistant in Jacksonville, and you've got a former NFL head coach as the defensive coordinator. So you've got a lot of the pieces in place for this team to be a playoff contending team. That is not unrealistic.
Mike Evans last year was probably a top five wide receiver if he could just hold on to the ball, and that's been an issue for him through the first couple years of his career there in Tampa. Does he look like he's been solving that problem, just the drops the last couple of years?
Yeah, you don't really know until you see it in games. Again, in the preseason live reps and then actual regular season games, but he's been better. And really, there were a couple of games in particular. The Texans game, a ton of drops. And he played a game later in the year against the Giants in the rain. I'm not going to make the excuse of the rain, but he had problems hanging on the ball in those two games. In most of the other games, huge catches at key times. Caught the game-winning touchdown against the Falcons in the final minute of the game on a third and long on a diving catch. That if you have bad hands and you're notorious for not being able to come up with a ball, you're not going to make that catch. So he's got a world of talent, and I think he will ultimately be fine. You know, he is a deep threat, and they have not used that as much as they could have been using that, getting him the ball. And Jameis Winston's one of the first ones to admit that. They got to do a better job of putting the ball back out in front of Mike Evans and let him go make plays down the field, because that's what he was known for at Texas A&M, and that's what he's capable of in the NFL.
All right, he is TJ Reeves, Tampa Bay Bucks radio sideline reporter, and he joins us anytime it's time to talk Buccaneer football, and this seemed like a good time with the Bucks in town tomorrow to take on the Jags. TJ, look forward to seeing you tomorrow, and I look forward to sleeping in and not teeing off at 8 o'clock, too.
I love all of that. We're headed up to North Florida a little later on today, and looking forward to this tomorrow night. I mean, I'm anxious to see how much the ones will go, if they go most of the first half here in this preseason game, because that means the real stuff is not far behind. Excited about it, boys.
Now let's get to it, man. All right, TJ, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right, there he goes, TJ Reeves, Buccaneers sideline reporter. By the way, if he's out and about tonight, Tyler, can he request you on Uber? I mean, how does that work? Can he just put...
No request.
You can't request? Does it not work that way?
That's not a personal decision. You're just not allowed.
You're not allowed to do that?
It's not a possibility, no.
Really? You would think that if you, you know...
Think about it. If you see an attractive girl that picks you up in your car as your driver, you shouldn't be able to request her. It's a privacy issue.
It's a hassling issue. I see what you're saying.
I would think
so, yeah. I mean, he's on the phone right now. If he wants to get Tyler to be his driver, he can just... They can work something out.
Right.
He doesn't have to go through Uber.
Just checking. Just
I just ran out of time,
that
too.
Can work. I'm trying to get the man some business.
I wanted to get to the kicker. Roberto Aguayo.
Robert Aguayo.
I mean, what's up with this guy?
Come on, you going to break another goalpost or what?
Bust!
Unbelievable. All right, too many connections with these teams, too, man. I mean, Spicer, you know, Cutter, Mike Smith, Daryl Smith, you name it, the banger. They're all, there's a lot of cross-pollination.
No doubt.
In Tampa with former Jaguars. They realize... Didn't win a whole lot of games here.
The Jags keep taking from Seattle and Denver. Good luck with the plan to take.
It hasn't worked yet, but hopefully it's heading in the right direction. All right, coming back to State and Football and the Honda Drive Around the NFL. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this state football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Let's take a look back on this date. In 1983, LSU football legend Billy Cannon, the winner of the 1959 Heisman Trophy, multiple-time All-American national titleist, didn't have his best day as he was sentenced on this date in 1983 to 5 years in prison for counterfeiting. Tony, He counterfeited $6 million worth of hundreds, apparently, and buried them in the backyard of his house and some of the rental properties that he owned. Ended up going to prison. And according to Wikipedia, still serves now. He's got out of prison, but...
He's a cook or something?
He was a dentist, and he went back to his dental practice, and then he went in and got hired at, like, the Louisiana State Penitentiary. Did I say it right the first time?
You said penitentiary.
Over there in Louisiana.
We get the point.
And he was so good, they, like, made him head of medical services, and apparently he's still, like, fixing inmates' teeth.
Billy Cannon was, he was the guy that got drafted first in the NFL and AFL.
Was he?
Right. And
Houston
Oilers? I think there was, like, a behind-the-scenes, like, bidding war, basically, for... his services between whoever it was, the two teams that actually selected him in the draft. I think the AFL drafted him first because they had like a regional draft or whatever, I want to say. But
He was an AFL. He was a round one territorial pick by Houston back in the day. And Houston went on to win some titles with Billy Cannon. So Billy Cannon sentenced to 5 years for counterfeiting. Let's get to the birthdays now. Yes, Tyler, you look
so,
like...
Billy Cannon, his first NFL contract, he was the top overall pick in the draft. Any guesses on a three-year contract, how much Billy Cannon made?
$60,000.
Half of that, $30,000.
Three-year, $30,000?
Three-year, $30,000. Wow. $10,000 signing bonus.
I read the story about that. Whoever it was in the NFL that took him, like, they thought they had him at, like, $25,000 or whatever it was, and then, like, Billy just came out and said... Well, Houston's offering me 30, and they were like, "Are you serious? $30,000? We can't do that.
That's unspeakable. We will not do that." Happy birthday to the greatest kicker in Jaguar history. Morton Anderson turns 56 years old today. How about this? Morton Anderson, he missed that 30-yarder to allow the Jaguars to make the playoffs in 1996. In his career, 189 out of 213 attempts between 30 and 39 yards, probably even higher in that shortened distance. He only missed five of them shorter than 30 yards. He was an 88.7% kicker between 30 and 39 yards in his career. This is what it sounded like.
It is from 31 yards. There's the snap. The placement. The kick is up. It's on the way. And it's no good. It's no good.
Oh, my God.
It's no good. Morton Anderson is missed. And the Jaguars are going to the playoffs.
Oh, my goodness.
Seven-time Pro Bowler Morton Anderson, three-time first-team All-Pro. I know Sexton said 31 yards. The official transcript says 30 because I looked it up today. Pro Football Hall of Fame member of the first-team All-Decade team in both the 80s and 90s.
Wow.
That's what it took for this guy to miss. Who was the quarterback that day for the Atlanta Falcons? You remember?
I do not.
It was Bobby Hebert. Happy birthday, Bobby Hebert.
For real.
Part of the exact day as Morton Anderson in 1960. They're both 56 years old today. Happy birthday to both of you. Hope you cry every time you think of the 1996 season. 1988, happy birthday, Kirk Cousins, born on this date in that year. He's 28 years old today. That is This Date in Football History, brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. JamesJMcCall.com online gives you a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is This Date in Football History.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Three of the four players that were named in the Al Jazeera report in January have now agreed to meet with Commissioner Roger Goodell to avoid suspension. Pittsburgh's James Harrison and Green Bay Packers linebackers Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers have all reportedly agreed to meet with Goodell.
Damn it.
Free agent linebacker Mike Neal has not agreed to a meeting, leaving some speculation that with the other three players that are on rosters right now agreeing to that meeting, that Neal may be left to carry the water for the NFLPA's displeasure with Goodell demanding a meeting with the players after the original reporting was rescinded back in January. Harrison had some strong words about the situation last night, saying, quote, "If it goes to a contact detrimental situation, it goes to the hands of that crook. I mean Roger Goodell, and he can do whatever he wants. That's just the bargaining agreement that the players signed. Whatever evidence they think they have or reason for questioning me is out of my control. I really don't know. I wouldn't have a problem with it being filmed live. I've been prosecuted and persecuted, you know, publicly in the media by them for something I didn't do. So I don't see why we couldn't have the media there and do a live interview. They can ask whatever questions they want, and I can answer them. You all can see whatever evidence they say they got," end quote. Jordy Nelson has returned to the practice field for the Green Bay Packers. He warmed up with the team last night before their preseason win over Oakland, but did not play in the game. Nelson tore his ACL during the preseason last year. He could possibly debut next week against San Francisco. But odds are Green Bay is going to take it pretty slow with a star wide receiver. And Jimmy Garoppolo started for the second straight game for the Pats last night. But that wasn't the plan. Tom Brady was slated to start but cut his thumb during the pregame. So Garoppolo was thrust into the starting lineup and got the second start. Garoppolo went 16-21 for 181 yards and a touchdown last night in the game.
He cut it during the pregame. I read he cut it on a knife. Why is he messing with a knife? And
maybe he's cutting tape or something. I don't know.
With a knife?
I don't know.
Seems a little strange.
It does, but I mean, he cut it pregame.
I'll cut you, man. all right. Tom Brady cut himself and didn't get to play. I don't know why I'm seeing
this
now.
Maybe he just didn't want to play. He just went to bell.
Maybe
he's like,
he didn't.
I cut my hand.
It seems to be the
going
thing.
Let me see your
hand.
No, I cut my hand.
Honestly, Teddy Bridgewater didn't play yesterday. You're resting the young guy? I mean, honestly, I don't know what the story is. I don't know why I've seen this shared on my Facebook page, and I just see it up here today because it's a video from July 26th and from Minute Maid Park in Houston. I don't watch the baseball highlights around the league like I used to. And it's got the woman who looks like the head of the Kardashian clan. What's her name? You know, the...
Kim?
No, the mom.
I don't know.
Kris Jenner?
Yeah, there you go. And one of the players is flipping a ball to the little girl. Was this like a big thing? Did this get blown up weeks ago? When there's a little girl, a little blonde girl sitting right there at the railing, and he's tossing a ball to her. And in comes Kris Jenner lookalike and just basically just shoves right in front of her and snatches the ball out of midair. The little girl looks at her like, are you kidding me? And turned, you know, just had this look of, oh. And she starts slinking up the stairs to go away. And this woman's getting high fives from these adults. And she stole the ball right from the little kid. It's unbelievable. I don't know why I'm just getting this now, but you're a pig. You know, stop it. Don't like that. All right. Should we get back to Gus Bradley? I think we should.
Sure.
All right. We'll hear a bunch from Gus coming up over the next 20 minutes or so. This is from the Gus Bradley Show last night, every Thursday night. Nice of Gus Bradley to show up for the Gus Bradley Show this week. Not that we didn't mind bringing, or we minded bringing you Dave Caldwell audio the last couple
weeks.
By the way,
I appreciate all the jokes about Tom Brady cutting his finger as he was trying to deflate the ball with a needle, and it slipped because they're coming in fast and furious right
now.
Wow,
that's a...
creative.
Really went deep on that one, huh? All right. Hey, maybe he did, you know?
Apparently it was a pair of scissors.
Was it scissors?
Yeah.
Apparently. Oh, I could have sworn I read knife in some reporting this morning. Brady cuts his hand on a knife. It was scissors, huh?
That's kind of
well, that makes
edge.
More sense. Well,
yeah.
I just... Have you ever seen anyone with a knife in the Jaguars locker room? Other than an axe?
No.
Not an axe,
no.
A knife.
Yeah, we've seen the axe. I don't remember ever seeing somebody
with a
knife.
That's all I'm saying. It sounded strange to me. Maybe I just misread it or something. But I don't know. Knife and scissors don't seem like the same words. So I'm thinking I didn't. All right. This is Gus Bradley last night on the Gus Bradley Show along with Jeff Logman. Gus talking about... for the first time in his tenure here, being part of a joint practice.
You know, I've never been a part of it. When I was in Tampa, we didn't do it, you know, with Pete Carroll in Seattle. You know, we just practiced with our team. So, you know, we just felt like at this time where our organization is and our team is that it would be a good thing. And I know a lot of work went into it, you know, to make sure that it's organized and well set up. And then the rules, you know, making sure that it's really well run and we get everything we can out of it and very good productive practices. And I was very pleased with it. There was no doubt I would do it again.
Gus Bradley continuing to talk about the joint practices last night was also asked by Jeff Loggeman, what was the best part of getting together with the Bucks?
Well, I think it was perfect timing for us, too. After the first preseason game, and then, you know, this time of training camp, it's good to go against somebody else in practice. I think it stimulates the players and you know, the competition level. You know, also the different looks. You know, and we knew that ahead of time, that Tampa's defense was going to be different than what we ran, and it would give a different look to our offense and to Blake Bortles. And defensively, too, you know, they need to see some different schemes offensively and with a mobile quarterback that could run and extend play. So, you know, we saw a lot of things. You know, and it's not just the scheme things that you look at. It's just how you handle different situations and going against another team and preparing and then coming into a practice and play at a high level.
All right, more from Gus coming up here in just a moment because we got a ton to get to, and we're up against the break right here. Before we do that, got this one in on the text line driven by Duval Ford. We're talking about the style of shorts that school athletic programs decided were fit to wear back in the day. This one says, attended Fernandina Beach Middle School in the late 90s. Low budget apparently forced us to wear the same uniform that the school had been using for at least 15 years. The shorts were straight out of 1970. Nasty, rough polyester blend. Yeah, now you're talking. Now that's exactly what we're talking about. After 15 seasons of washing and drying, horrible. There you go.
You know your school's PE uniforms were old when you had like the orange like aura or color around the armpits. Like it was a disgusting looking. My school had that. Our uniforms were that old to where you'd see like pit stains.
The baked on, caked on. Yeah, ours were not exactly, spring chickens when we had them either back in the 1980s. So, but the polyester, as they're described, the something huggers is what they are. Mm. That's exactly what
banana
they
boats.
Were. You know, the exact the banana hammocks. All right, moving along. More Gus Bradley on the other side. And don't forget, fan feedback question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. We ask you, what are the three things you'll be watching for the most during the preseason home opener during tomorrow night's game with the Jags and the Buccaneers at Everbank? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you. It's Jaguars Today on a Friday brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. Sandwiches, subs, always delicious. I'm always talking about what a great option they are for lunch. Really, for any time, food on the go, absolutely. Check all the boxes. Quality, great price, going to fill you up, great variety. You're going to love them. Circle K, Kangaroo Express, you pop in, you head to the fresh case. But what about breakfast? Yes, they do breakfast as well. They tell me it's the most important meal of the day. Well, get off to a good start. The next morning, you're up and about by popping in and picking up a package of Dandy breakfast sliders. They eat big. Two thick sausage patties, each with a slice of tasty melted cheddar cheese on a freshly baked bun they call a baby brioche, and it's absolutely the perfect size for eating on the go. It's all about food on the go. Convenience, great taste, quality ingredients, locally made, fresh baked bread right here in the city of Jacksonville. It's part of the Dandy formula that's made them successful for over 60 years, folks. So whether it's breakfast, lunch, tailgating, or anytime, do what I do. Go out and make yours a Dandy today.
1010XL.
Is this the greatest place in the world? I'm talking right here.
You gotta love this, don't you? Drive it.
92.5 FM. Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You were definitely right, Tony. All the comedic geniuses came up with Tom Brady cutting his hand in some method while he was deflating balls. They all seemed to be texting us at the same time.
Yeah.
There was a lot of those we got this morning. So he didn't play last night. It's kind of weird. It's very weird to me that Bridgewater didn't play. It seems like it's becoming more of a thing to protect guys in the preseason now. They said there was no discipline issue or anything like that. It was his coach's decision to not play him. It's strange, though, to me.
It is. It's strange, especially, I mean, how much chemistry can you develop in practice? I mean, you get some of that, but you want to get those live game reps where, I don't know, the other team is able to hit the guys. Like, there seems to be a good deal of value in that in the preseason, especially for a guy who, honestly, statistically is, I mean, it's the passing game has not been good.
No.
In Minnesota for the last couple of years. I would think he didn't get a single rep on the field last week with Laquon Treadwell. Now, Treadwell looked good.
Treadwell didn't look good last night.
Right. And so I wonder what the plan is from Minnesota's perspective. I would assume he's going to play this week in week three of the preseason, but why wouldn't you be getting a third-year quarterback reps, especially when you got as many new faces as they do in the passing game?
Right. I say Treadwell didn't play well. He didn't perform because he's playing with backup quarterbacks. He didn't catch any of the four targets coming his way, and they're talking about him being buried on the depth chart right now up there in Minneapolis. Charles Johnson, a little bit resurgent during training camp. Mm-hmm. We spoke to him at the Super Bowl, was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I think coming off that big season that he had and then disappeared last year. He was hurt. That happens with a lot of these guys. Nobody wants to admit publicly that they're hurt because they become a target, and then they're not in the lineup and not producing. You wonder why. You're like, wow, I guess that was flash in the pan, but they think Charles Johnson might be able to reclaim some of the passing game value that he had 2 years ago.
Mike Zimmer was asked if it's a disciplinary issue with Teddy Bridgewater, says he's like the nicest kid in the history of life.
Right. I'm sure he is. Teddy Bridgewater's always come across as this good dude. I have nothing against Teddy Bridgewater.
Look, the Vikings won 11 games last year. So whatever formula they had worked, that was with Teddy Bridgewater starting all 16 games, throwing for 3,200 yards and 14 touchdowns.
Right.
I mean, they got nothing out of the passing game last year from an NFL standard and had to rely almost exclusively on Adrian Peterson in the run game, which, look, Peterson has been able to handle that to this point in his career. At some point, he's not going to be able to, and they got to develop that passing game a little bit, and you could turn a team that's winning 11 games maybe into a team that's competing for a bye in the first round of the playoffs if you get something out of that passing game. It doesn't make much sense to me.
We played a clip yesterday on our show, yesterday afternoon on Sirius, from North Turner talking about Adrian Peterson. At what point do you start to lessen his workload? He's 31 years old, and he's like, you know, it sounds good, and then you get into that game, and while you're in that 60-minute contest, what can I do with what I have at my disposal to beat that team across from me today? And the answer is give him a healthy dose of Adrian Peterson, basically. Right. And even say, he goes, look, you know, people talk about, can he handle 25 carries? Yeah, but nobody carries at 25 a game. That's 400 carries for the season, and nobody's getting, you know, historically, what, about 10 guys have ever hit that threshold or somewhere in that range. So you don't want Adrian Peterson having that big a workload, but 20 a game? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, how many did he get last year?
I don't know, but that wouldn't surprise me if it was right, or, you know, 300-ish, 320-ish, something like that. What do you have?
I feel like Adrian will retire before he's ever at that point where you're trying to limit his carries. He feels like he's a guy that said, yeah, I think he actually said recently this summer that he would retire because of the mental grind more so than the physical grind.
Right. Yeah. I think he took 1 year of his prime away because of, you know, beating his kid, basically.
Yeah.
All right. And he's been talked about as a guy that, you know, if anyone's going to make a run at Emmitt Smith, it would be Adrian Peterson, because he seems to defy all the normal laws of human physiology.
Yeah. I mean, 327 carries last year.
Is that what he had?
That's
okay,
20 a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1,485 yards, got the job done. But he has so many of those games where he starts, you know, 10 carries for 12 yards, right? And because all they're doing is focusing on him, you'd think they'd want Bridgewater to get some run and help that passing game open up and loosen things up a little bit. That's their concern. Let's get to our concerns.
It'll be the Jags' concern about halfway through the year. Or December.
Yeah, December.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't want the buzzsaw on Jimmy Smith Day. That's going to hit them. Okay, let's just say. Gus, picking up where we left off, he was on the Gus Bradley Show last night, obviously talking about the week, what's to come. Let's go Gus cut number three here, talking about the guys, his players, with the Bucs on the other side, whether it's offense or defense, getting to experience some different looks and styles than they'd been going up against.
Ask our pass rushers. You know, they've been going against the same tackles, the same guards, you know, for a couple of weeks now in training camp, with the exception of the one game against the Jets. So, you know, to go against a different style, and to see different styles, and to realize the importance of studying film and studying individual players and see their weaknesses, their strengths, and how you're going to attack them. I think that was very evident this week, that players understand that part of it.
Gus Bradley on the Gus Bradley Show last night here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. He was asked about, you know, we're a week into the preseason, we're basically a month into training camp. Is he happy with the progress that he's seeing from his team, and where does he still think they need to improve?
I am. You know what? And I thought these two joint practices really showed up some other areas that we need to work on. And, I think those things are pointed out. So it's great in the team meeting, great in unit meetings, where you can point and say, okay, let's find out the truth here. And we're looking at different segments, different situations, and where we're not up to par and where we're not to the standard that we want. So I think it brings those things to light.
What areas?
Well, you know, I didn't think we did very well in the two-minute situation today. You know, and that's the truth. I thought they came out with more intensity and, you know, just their pass rush and, you know, with our pass rush and how we executed. And, you know, that's what I told a lot of the players. They just didn't feel like, you know, and it's, you know, you don't want to compare. It's, you know, we should have our own standard. And I just felt like, you know, we didn't really come out in that period like we wanted to. But to our team's credit, we came back in red zone and did pretty well. So, we talk about recovering quickly, and those things are going to happen. You might get punched in the face in a game, and you just got to be able to respond. So, that'd be one area. And there's other areas that we need to take a look at, and we can refine and become more detailed on.
All right, Gus Bradley from the Gus Bradley Show, which airs Thursday nights here on 1010XL. You should know that by now. Let's get into some thoughts on individual players here. This is Gus last night talking about Miles Jack and the opportunity that he has in his rookie season to learn from a guy like Paul Posluszny.
Puz has really taken him under his wing. I mean, I give credit to Puz. I mean, here's a guy coming in, playing the same position as Puz, and it's a great competition. And Puz will take him and say, hey, let's go out there. This is how we do pregame. Go through it. Tell me what you like, what you don't like. And Miles is just eating it up. I mean, he's taking it all in. So credit to Miles as well for listening. And but they do. He has got his routine down before practice, before games. You know, so that whole process was sped up a lot due to Puz.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, talking about all the new faces here on this Jaguars team. Gus Bradley was asked last night about new leaders for this season. I saw an article earlier this week talking about the return of Darryl Smith to Jacksonville. He's with the Bucs, but he's back in Jacksonville for the first time. And there were four guys on this roster from when Darryl Smith was here.
Wow.
They've turned over 86 of the 90 positions on the roster here in a training camp since Darryl Smith was here last. Gus was asked about if he is seeing some new leaders emerge this season.
I am, without a doubt. You know, you take a look at Blake Bortles, Brandon Linder, Allen Robinson, you know, along with the Puzzes and the Gibsons and the Telvin Smith. I mean, as a coaching staff, we can now point out to guys and say, hey, these guys are really developing these traits to become very strong leaders for us. And it's very evident. And, you know, they'll only grow even more and more in that position. And it's real natural. It's nothing that's force-fed. It's nothing that they're feeling like, you know, out of their comfort zone to lead. It's just becoming very natural.
All right, more from Gus Bradley here last night on the Gus Bradley Show. This is an interesting one that we've discussed. What will the plan be if Kelvin Beachum can't go in week one? Gus was asked about having a contingency for when they face the Packers, if that's the case.
You anticipate, you know, hey, it's going to be between these five or six guys or seven guys. And then you get into preseason, a couple guys show up, and you go, all right, we got more depth. And then they play another game, and you say, you know what? If they need to step in and be the starter for a couple of games, we're okay. And, you know, but I think with Beachum, you know, sometimes when you go through an injury like that, the rehab, when you from day one, there's ups and downs. And I give him credit now. He's fought through a lot, competed all the way through, and training camp, he did a nice job. And his attitude and his work ethic, and he's gaining confidence in it. And, you know, so we'll see how it shakes out here in the next week or so.
And what is it, Tony? Another week, maybe? You got
hoping, yeah.
Right. You got to have this guy, I think, ready to play against Cincinnati in week three of the preseason.
I don't think you want to keep your first-team line exposed too much in that week four of the preseason game. And it would be nice if they could have it by week three. Now, they may have to change some things around with just how they – look, I don't think Bortles – will play all that much week four of the preseason, but if that's the first time they have Beachum available to them,
maybe you play a series.
Yeah, maybe you let those guys have a little bit more run, or at least the left side of that line have a little bit more run, where it may be the first time they have the opportunity to even get Jokel on the field in live action at that left guard spot, if that is indeed the plan. Gus Bradley talking on the Gus Bradley Show last night a lot about that left side of the line. In last week's game, he talked about Reed, he talked about Jokel. He was also asked about the plan that they're going to have this week. They get ready for the Buccaneers tomorrow night. What is the plan at left guard against the Bucs?
Luke Jokel will play left tackle, and then you'll see Chris Reed, you know, going in there again at left guard. But you'll see Shatley and, you know, the guys that McKenzie, you know, you'll see all those guys getting opportunities in there. So it gives us another chance to look at Luke at left tackle and Linder as a center and Parnell and AJ. And, you know, we're getting closer to trying to figure this out, or closer to our first game anyway. So, you know, it'll be good. You know, but Chris Reed will get a lot of the snaps with the one.
All right, Chris Reed playing his way certainly maybe into a prominent role with the football team early in the season. Do you need another look at Luke Jokel at left guard? You know, I get it. Brandon Linder needs to play some center in real live action, and we need to see as much of that as we can. But we know where three of those guys are going to be lining up. We know Luke Jokel's going to be lining up at one of those other spots right now. So Kelvin Beachum, the watch continues on that. And then finally, Tony, we asked the other day about veterans that could end up being surprise cuts on the football team. A lot of people thought Denard Robinson. I think that has probably changed with the Jonas Gray move, where they let him go, waived him. But Sendarek Mark's name got brought up quite a bit because of the depth on the defensive line. Is he returning to full form following a couple of years of season-ending injuries, and Gus was asked if he noticed in Derek Marks getting back to that old form.
You did. You know, you look for players, you know, we talked about with Marquise Lee, where they start stacking up good practice after good practice after good practice. And you're right, Logs. I would say the last four practices for Senderic have been impressive, where we're starting to see the Senderic that we've come to know and expect. And, you know, you're right. He's gone through a tough time with those injuries and battling back and the stamina and going through practice. And he give him a lot of credit. He has fought through it, and it's good. Now just keep stacking them up, Senderic. Keep stacking them up and, you know, get him back to where he was, if not even better.
Yeah, it doesn't sound to me like that's a guy that's right now in danger of not being on the football team. He's playing better football as training camp goes on, which is good to see. I just think, you know, he's such a one of the key guys in terms of the heart and soul of this football team. You know, it's such a young group. You're not going to have too many wizened old veterans like Paul Posluszny run around. But this is a guy who's your best player 2 years ago. He's put up with bad teams, you know, and done his best to try to make them better. Just like to see him, if they are on the brink of success, you want to see them have that success with some of the guys that have been toiling away as good players in a bad situation, basically.
No doubt about it, and hopefully that's something that we'll continue to see tomorrow night against the Bucs. Again, we're asking today on the fan feedback spotlight question like we do before every Jaguars game, you know, what kind of things are you looking for? Regular season, it'll be keys to victory. Preseason, it's what are you looking for? Just out of this game, because victory is mostly irrelevant in preseason football games, and we'll get to some of those answers. And I can understand why some people would be looking hard at a guy like Senderic Marks. I want to see him return to form.
Sure.
Because the idea of that guy, of being able to take Malik Jackson off the field if you need to at some point, and putting in Senderic Marks to go in and do that, the guy that we saw 2 years ago doing that, that's awesome.
Right, with very little, if any, drop-off whatsoever, if he could return to that form. Or just having the option of having both inside on third down and being a load to handle for folks out there. And you wonder, I think Sheldon Day's back injury can have hurt Senderic's chances, right? Because Sheldon Day was getting a lot of buzz, and if you felt like, wow, this guy could be ready from day one to step in as our kind of our third tackle in the rotation, it makes it easier to move on from other guys. I'd like to see them all be a part of that. They have such good options right now, potentially. I say potentially because, you know, we keep pointing out they have good options and good players, and they haven't collectively won anything together yet. So the potential is there, though, on that defensive front to be the best unit on the team, including wide receivers, which is a great potential top four in their own right. I think you got a very good pair of starters, and if Marquise Lee can stay healthy and Rashad Green stays healthy, for that matter. Rashad Green battled injuries all last year as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, having those guys healthy and ready to go, a healthy Julius Thomas to begin the season. You got some weapons out there in the passing game. Hopefully we'll have some success with those tomorrow night. Another fast start, stick it in the end zone, hang on to the ball at the goal line, Julius Thomas, and off we go, and we feel good heading into week three of the preseason. We'll see how it plays out. Pregame tomorrow at 4:30 right here on your home of the Jaguars, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. As Tony mentioned, we will come back with the fan feedback question of the day, which asks you today, what are the top three things you'll be watching for in the Jags preseason home opener? We'll get to some of your commentary coming up next on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars hosted the Bucs for their last of two joint practices yesterday. Allen Hurns and Marquise Lee both returned to practice. Jags quarterback Blake Bortles was impressed with Lee so far.
I think Marquise has been awesome. You know, I think he's shown, you know, that when he's healthy, he's got an unbelievable ability to make plays. Now it's just trying to keep him healthy, and, you know, that's really, you know, kind of back to him taking care of his body and doing all that. And, you know, he's a professional and understands that. You know, there's to do in order to stay on the field. And he's kind of done that and been able to do it and look really good.
Going to the Jags game tomorrow? Save gas and avoid parking hassles. Ride the JTA Game Day Express to Everbank Field. For more information on express locations and prices, visit ecommerce.jtafla.com. Game time is set for 7:30. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI.
I think we're going to have a great venue. for entertaining, more reasons for people to come to town, generate revenue for the city, have a great time in the process.
It's sort of an obvious a project that people can get excited about because it checks a lot of boxes. It helps make the Jaguars more stable. Now, we care about that. A lot of people in the community care about that, but not everybody, you know. It does something good for downtown. And I think one of the most important things that it does is it contributes to a much greater utilization of existing infrastructure.
That's Shad Khan, the boss. I just like want to hear him talk. You know what I mean? Whenever he talks, I'm interested in what he has to say. And Mark Lamping, Jaguars president, talking about some of the benefits of the new amphitheater going in, as Mark Lamping said, just continue. Another thing to make the Jags more solid, more stable here in their economic environment in Jacksonville, Florida. And, of course, you get the flex field that's going to go along with it. The Jags will be able to practice indoors or covered, however you want to look at it. And Shad Khan went on to say, and this was from a press conference less than 2 hours ago down at the stadium as they had the official ribbon cutting today on this. Daly's Place is the name of the official name of the locale. But Shad was talking about the flex field and how that could come into play if the Jags try to lure the draft to Jacksonville.
If you look at the structure, it's polycarbonate walls, so it really takes advantage of the weather here. It's not too hot, not too cold. You can enjoy the sunlight, yet it keeps you out of the elements, whether it's thunderstorming, raining, or whatever. And hangar-like doors that open up to let the fresh air in, and you could have events. I mean, Florida-Georgia game, that could be a great venue for food courts, etc. Could be a great venue for the draft with all the amenities that go with hosting an event like that. So it is absolutely lives up to the name, a flex field.
Very flexible usage. Tony, they give Super Bowls to teams that build new stadiums, right? That's part of the incentive to build a new stadium. How many teams who have not built a new stadium have pumped more into the infrastructure of their existing stadium than the Jaguars and the city of Jacksonville have in the last several years?
I can't imagine many.
Right. I mean, if any.
Like, I don't pay a whole – I'm not going to say I pay the closest attention to what other teams are doing to upgrade their stadium.
Right. Miami, for instance, is doing that partial sun cover down there.
I'm sure a lot of teams are doing something, but I don't think a lot of teams in the past 3 years have put up video boards like the Jaguars have redone the club sections, have added the cabanas the way they have, and then within, you know, the next 6 to 8 months, they're going to have – a new amphitheater and indoor practice facility that's going to be basically connected to the stadium. I mean, that's a lot of infrastructure to be putting into this stadium without having to rebuild it, and makes it feel like it feels brand new. Like when you go to games, if someone came to a Jacksonville Jaguars game 5 years ago and came this year, they wouldn't know that it's the same stadium. The experience is completely changed from what it was when Shad Khan took over.
Well, I would like to see the Jags get rewarded if they do. And I think Shad Khan wants to get the draft here. I don't think he cares so much about the Super Bowl. But the draft is a lower bar, certainly. But it is competitive because a lot of cities want it. It was a great success in Chicago. They loved having it there for 2 years. It's going to Philadelphia this year. When that new L.A. stadium opens up, you can bet it's going to go out to Los Angeles for a couple of years, if not longer. But I'd like to see the Jags, even if it's once, to have that kind of experience here, I think would be pretty darn cool. Taking a look at the fan feedback spotlight today, so we got to get to Jags Day, and it's kind of a tradition on the day of, or at least the day before now, a new tradition that we're trying to start here. Let's go with the question of the day, which asked you, what are the top three things you'll be watching for during the Jaguars preseason home opener versus the Bucs? What do we get on Twitter?
Here's what we got from Justin. High tempo, confidence. I want to see happy Jags swagger and speed. Let's fly, baby. From Jarrell. Number one, offensive consistency. 2 and 3, defense. Please cover the middle and force turnovers. From Dr. Duval. Offensive line play, Ramsey's debut, and a kicking battle. From Demetrius. One, how the offensive line responds to a top five defensive tackle in Gerald McCoy. 2, Marquise Lee's health. And 3, Miles Jack in coverage. And from Chad here, number 1, Ramsey, period, just seeing him play. Number 2, Jack in control. And number 3, let's see, a Fowler sack. Hashtag highway to the danger zone. Hashtag hold my cons. Hashtag lockdy dumb.
Okay.
So we got it all in.
Got it all in there. Kevin on Facebook said, build off what we did last week offensively. In addition to that, hoping to see if the defense could put some pass rush on Jameis Winston and if the defensive backs can make some plays on the ball, getting their hands on the ball either with a pick or deflections. Dalton said continue to do what the offense did, pick up where they left off, disrupt Jameis, and will Dante Fowler try to punch the tackle's neck this time and avoid the helmet punch? Let's hope he doesn't punch anything, and let's just hope that he has some violent pass rush moves that result in sacks. Christopher with the O-line. The new defense not allowing big plays, and Myers not giving us heart attacks, hoping he makes any and all kicks. Shout out to Jason's dad, by the way, who came by and introduced himself to us the other day. Daniel said offensive scores on the first two possessions. Jags defensive backs going up against the Bucs big wide receivers, and the O-line saga continues. Cameron went with Jalen Ramsey, Marquise Lee, and Tashaun Gibson just in terms of three players you'd like to see. And we'll end with this one. Jason said pass coverage, pass rush, and a Shadrick sighting. Which is always important.
You'll hear Shadrick.
You'll get a Shadrick listen. You won't see him though on game day anymore because we're.
Oh, you will hear in a couple weeks. It'll be streaming online.
That's true. You'll see him. You'll see him if you're watching online. Correct.
It's not up yet, but it's coming.
Correct. And unfortunately, you may see me as well. And I'm not at all pleased about the prospect because I still got a ways to go. You know, T.J. Reeves when he came on the Bucs sideline reporter said Jameis Winston got all chiseled, dropped 20 pounds. I dropped 35. I'm just less gelatinous right now. I'm not really exactly chiseled, so I don't know if I'm ready for my
chisel comes later.
My Jaguars.com video debut or not? Chiseled hopefully comes later, much later. What do you got cooking this weekend other than Jags football? Anything interesting?
I'm gonna head out to Bowles Lee tonight.
Okay,
I'm gonna be on the Bowles broadcast this year. We're picking up Bowles, dropping Episcopal, unfortunately, but I'll still be on the broadcast. I think I'm doing color this year.
Okay,
for Bowles football, and we'll pick up our broadcast schedule with them next Friday night. But they do have their jamboree tonight at Lee, so hopeful to be able to go out there and catch that this evening, and then obviously Jaguars football tomorrow and Sunday. A day of relaxation,
day of rest, and yes. A little R&R for you. I'm gonna try to get my my 6 miles in today. I've upped it from 4 to 6 on a daily basis. Get my 6 miles in today, get my 6 miles in tomorrow morning, maybe try to do 10 on Sunday as I keep marching towards that chiseled perfection, Tony. But I got a little Sirius XM tonight at 6, and then I've got Jags football all day tomorrow as well. And I imagine I'll probably find a place to hit the little white ball on Sunday somewhere along
the
way. Yeah, it will be. And be listening, by the way, because we've had more people ask us. We mentioned, I think, really for the first time, we talked about it yesterday. Listener leagues, fantasy leagues will be coming for Jaguars today, and we'll be drafting on September 5th or 6th. We'll have a league on each of those nights. That's the Monday and Tuesday of the first week of the NFL season. The league kicks off with Denver and Carolina on the 8th, that Thursday night. So we're going to draft after all the preseason games have completed. We've got 2 weeks to get the leagues filled out. I have no idea how we're going to determine participants in the league.
Highest bidder.
At this point in time. Highest bidder is a good idea.
It's not bad.
We can be bribed. Keep in mind, if you're bringing food, I want something healthy these days. But we'll determine that in the days and weeks ahead. But a couple weeks from Monday and Tuesday is when we plan on drafting. We'll have two 12-team leagues. I'll play in both. Tony will play in both. I know Tyler will be in at least one of them. And maybe some other select invitees. We had Lauren Brooks in last year, for instance, because she's a Jaguars Today legacy. Speaking of Lauren Brooks,
hey, you know what?
And company, the Heel Tones.
Jags fever this year.
Let's fade out and hear these guys. Thanks to T.J. Reeves, for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. Midday Chalk coming up next. Thanks for listening to a Friday edition of Jaguars Today, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing.
It's going to be a Jags Day, and Bortles going to be hot today. And a team can't be stopped today. An offense gonna score a lot today. Hey, it's gonna be a Jags day. And all our fans look fly today. Other teams' fans gonna cry today. There's one more victory on the way. Hey, it's gonna be a Jags
hands
day.
Hands in the air, take a deep breath. Super Bowl's coming, but not just yet. Our team is young, the talent runs deep. AFC South better not go to sleep. Fans have been great, best in the nation. Been a lot of years with much aggravation. Been a long time since we played past the season. This year's Jags, we got a reason to win 10 games and win the division. Coach of the year, an easy decision. Blake's gonna throw 50 TDs. Duval's bringing home an MVP.
It's gonna be a Jags day. And Dante gonna get sacks today. And Jalen running one back today. Tell them Miles Jack today. Hey, it's gonna be
Jack. Miles and Dante get the quarterback. Pat comes to town for game number one. Cheese gonna melt in that hot Florida sun. We fill the bank like we always do. Stay for the fourth quarter, something new. Marcus, Brock, and Andrew Luck. Sorry, Junior Bug, but they gonna suck. Division champs, that's where we wanna be. We'll see you at the bank in January. Clinch the playoffs and find our Quan. Celebrate the pools with old Shot Khan.
It's gonna be a Jack's Day, and Bortles gonna be hot today. And a team can't be stopped today. An offense gonna score a lot today. Hey, it's gonna be a Jack's Day. And all our fans look fly today. Other teams' fans gonna cry today. There's one more victory on the way. Hey, it's gonna be a Jack's Day.
You guys have a good day. Peace.